Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday. It's 3 o'clock. What a treat for everyone. Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for a full hour. Elliot of the Go Birds podcast, which is coming out twice a day right now. Go Birds Daily in the morning, and then you and James later on in the morning. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Elliot, how we doing?
How's it going?
Good. Now, before we get started on the Eagles stuff, I was looking at pictures. It looks like you bailed on the idea of your ankle-length lady coat for Sunday's game. What was behind that
first
decision?
Of all, it's not a lady coat.
Wow.
Fresh, made in Italy. It's a nice coat.
Well, they make lady coats
in Italy.
There's not only guys in Italy.
Elliot Colangelo over here.
Get a new coat. Yeah. Well, it's just not a warm coat is where I messed up.
It's a pea coat. Pea coats are the warmest coats
thin.
You can have.
You don't know about pea coats,
Jack. I have a pea coat.
So, yeah. So it's
a one owner.
It's a thin coat. But here's the good news. You look at the weather for Sunday. It's going
to
be in the 40s.
I'm wearing the coat. To bring it
I'm wearing the coat. It's a championship coat, too.
Is it a championship
coat? It's not a divisional round coat.
But it...
Wait till you see it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I'll never forget it.
I will say I had a few people come up to me, like non-media people, or like, where's the coat?
Yeah, if you were looking for it, man,
I will wear it on Sunday.
Well, I saw Howie jumping up and down on the sidelines, and he was wearing like sort of a calf-length coat, and it looked like he was restricting him, given his jumps
it
up and down.
It definitely restricts how you walk a little, I will say, but, fashion over function.
Yep. Especially for a successful lady like you.
It's exactly right. For a businesswoman like me on Sunday, I need my best.
I don't know why I think it's so funny.
Well, I'm excited to wear it. You won't even see it. That's a sad thing.
On Sunday? Yeah. Or no, at the Super
There'll
Bowl.
Be photos of it.
Or this Sunday. You're wearing it this Sunday.
I'm going to wear it this Sunday.
Okay,
yeah, the championship game
there'll
Sunday.
Be pictures. There'll
oh,
be
I'm
pictures.
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure the comments will be kind on that one.
Yeah. So, Elliot, we open up the show today. I sort of outlined why I think this is the best coaching performance overall in Philly sports history. Not just Nick, but Vic as well, given the context of everything. And Vic, too, it might be looking historically one of the best performances of Vic Fangio's career. I know we only have 1 year of Vic, but you don't go through Vic Fangio's defenses and it's like every year it's like number one, number two.
Especially recently.
Yeah. So what do you think of that overall and the performance of them given, comparisons to other great coaching performances?
I mean, first, wow, how things have changed over the past 2 months.
Yeah,
right?
They sure have.
You make the NFC Championship game and things are different.
Well, but I do think I think the NFC Championship game is a good time to talk about it, but I think this has been building.
I agree.
Here.
So it's a great question. I mean, you want to talk like overall in the city, the first one that comes to mind for me is Larry Brown in 01, just because that team didn't have a ton of talent. They went all the way to the NBA Finals. But
I want to just for a second.
You want to talk Sixers?
No,
well, no. The team had two Hall of Famers starting on it. In Dikembe Mutombo and Allen Iverson.
Mutombo was a great
player. Had a sixth man of the year in Aaron McKee. Like it, and the team was built the way it had to be built because of Iverson. So, I wouldn't say that team was untalented.
Yeah, I think two Hall of Famers is a bit of a stretch, but we don't need to get into the semantics.
Sure,
was towards the end of his career. But regardless, I think if you look at, like for the Eagles, the best coaching jobs, right? Individual seasons, I mean, 2017, Doug, Jim Schwartz, Frank Reich. I think an interesting way to look at this for me is kind of what the expectations are versus what they did, right? So if you look at the over-unders going into each of these seasons. So 2017, they were supposed to win 8.5 games. They won 13. They were plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl, which is even longer than I remember. So obviously they win 4.5 more games. They win the Super Bowl. Great job. 2022, when they went, obviously, 9.5 was the over-under. They won 14, but the Super Bowl odds were only plus 2,400 that year. So, like, I think going into it, the Eagles in 2022 had slightly higher expectations. So I think 2017 was a better coaching job from the head coaches. But when you take into account all of it, I think, Nick is a better head coach than Doug was. And I think these coordinators are doing a better job than the coordinators did in 2017. So overall, I would agree with you.
Wow. That's a good way to look at it.
Here's another, while we're at it.
Well, and I think also the context of the defense being the Fangio's job is the job that Fangio is doing is a big part of this. It's not only, but going from the next to last ranked defense to the number one ranked defense. Mm-hmm. And it's not like their big free agent acquisition on defense failed. He doesn't even play.
He's played one snap in two games.
Right. So this is not with them. And then Brandon Graham was their, I would say, debatably their best edge this year when
going
he,
into the year,
even when he got hurt at that point.
True.
But then we have Jalix Hunt playing 18 snaps, and Nolan Smith is now a game wrecker.
Yeah,
you know, and that all happened under Vic. You know,
so one thing I found interesting when I was looking up like the over unders is so Doug for his time here, if you want to look at what he was supposed to win versus what he did win. He won one less game than the over-under total was for 5 years. If you look at Nick, he's won 10 more games than he was supposed to. So we can talk about all the talent on the roster.
Nick's rosters are better.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying what was expected of Doug's rosters, he underachieved. Obviously, he did not because he won the Super Bowl. But
yeah,
in terms of I'm saying in terms of total wins, he won fewer games than he was supposed to based off the over-unders.
Yeah, but that's over-unders are just betting numbers.
No, I know, but it's what we expect of the team going into the season.
Yeah, and we can't go back and lump everybody into the same group of expectations when people felt differently about those teams. But if you look at those rosters, that Super Bowl was a lightning in the bottle roster. No one on that roster other than the core four lasted and ever played any better than that year.
Yeah.
Than that year. Like, they never reached that level of play, any of those players individually. Alshon, the running backs were gone the next year. None of those guys.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Nick has coached way more talent than Doug.
Yes.
Like, without question. But when I think with Nick, one thing you'll hear, I don't know if you guys have heard it today, but I'm sure you've heard it over the months, is, well, he's got so much talent, he's supposed to win. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making is, if you look at 2021 to now, he's won 10 more games than he was supposed to based off the over-under. So he has taken a talented roster and won more than he was supposed to. So yes, he has talent, but he also, if we want to stick with the over-under thing, faces high over-unders, right? Like, he normally is supposed to win 10 games, 10
and
a half.
And he should. With
and
this
he,
roster.
He does. That's what, yeah, that's
and
what
he
I'm
should
saying.
With this roster. He's not overachieving. One could say they have not reached the full potential of winning a championship. And that's why, as much as I like Nick, and I'm a Nick guy, you lose Sunday and you guys aren't saying any of this.
Well,
you might be saying it because you're a lunatic.
Right.
Yeah, so you probably would still say it, but I know Spike's not going to say it.
Well,
and you certainly wouldn't be able to convince anybody that this is a great coaching job if they lose to Washington Sunday at home.
So I think Nick has definitely overachieved in 4 years. Now, you're right. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, you can definitely look and go, should they have got a Super Bowl during this four-year run? And the answer is probably yes. So if he doesn't win it this year.
You think this team has overachieved?
Yes. In 2021, they definitely overachieved.
Forget about 2021. Well, they won 9-8. That's nothing. They got smacked the first
Hold on.
Because I was here for context. So I know exactly.
Right.
They didn't beat anybody in 2021. They ran the ball more than anybody. And when they played a legitimate team, they weren't even close to winning a game against Tampa in the playoffs.
I agree.
Wasn't even close. So that 9-8 record, even though it's 9-8, it was nothing special. There's nothing special about that season.
I agree it wasn't special.
Nothing.
But I agree, but he still won way more than they were supposed to. I agree with you. Like, their roster
way more.
Was,
they won 9 games. How many games were they supposed to win?
I think their over-under was like, I have it here. I think it was 7 or 6.5 or something
like
that.
Okay, they won 9.
But they had won 4 games the year before.
Right.
So going into that year, I don't think many of us projected they would make the playoffs. That's the point I'm making. You can say he didn't overachieve in some grand.
They were fortunate to make the playoffs because of a down year in the conference. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, I look at this roster and I look at this talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't win Sunday. This is a team, because even though the season ended the way it did last year, that wasn't the expectation coming in, right? 2023, that was a disaster at the end.
Yes,
so don't tell me how great of a job of coaching it was, right? Don't give me win totals at the beginning of the year. Give me the actual context of going through the season and watching the team. You didn't look at that team and feel like that was a great coaching job in 2023.
Last year? I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100%. But he's been here in 2021, 22, and this year.
Yes.
And he's overachieved
and he
three
has
out
to
of four
finish
years.
This year.
I agree. He has to win this year. But also, one, in 2022, they definitely overachieved. Or I should say, exceeded expectations. They had a talented roster, but
yeah, that is certainly fair.
Right? This year, I think they've exceeded expectations as well.
Well, hold on.
We had a ton of questions about
in
this.
In 2022,
team.
Context again, they played the last place schedule and they played a bunch of bum quarterbacks. They were the best team on the field every time they stepped out there until they played Kansas City.
Right.
We even talk about the playoff run they went through and the teams they beat. So, yes, on the surface, the numbers say that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm looking at the level of competition you're playing and whether or not you're beating teams that you shouldn't beat or doing things you shouldn't do. When I look at the 2022 season and go through that schedule, they should have mollywopped every team they played that year.
In 2022?
Yes.
And they did.
Right. I'm saying they did what they were expected to do. They were playing a last-place schedule with a bunch of mediocre at best quarterbacks.
So, I do get your point about the schedule, but it's one thing to say you're supposed to, like, you know, smack a team around every week. There's no team to do it. It's harder to actually go out and do it. But they definitely overachieved.
They had a stacked roster.
And they almost won the Super Bowl. They were not supposed to, though. Like, they weren't supposed to be
at the
Super
Bowl. At the beginning of the season. But once you watch the season play out.
Yeah, but we're talking about coaching jobs. So when you go into the year, he was not supposed to go to the Super Bowl, and he did. So to me, that is a great coaching job and an overachievement, right? 2021, they're not supposed to make the playoffs. They do make the playoffs. That's a great coaching job and an overachievement.
But it's not all him.
No, I agree. It's the staff. It's the roster. It's
not
all
him. So let's not get into the nuts and bolts of the role you play and everything else. And then when you don't have that talent around you, right? Like I understand what he's great at doing. Mm-hmm. I understand it. Listen. I love everybody on the Knick train with me. I didn't have anybody there with me a year ago. I didn't have anybody with me on the train a year ago. Everybody wanted him fired, and he's the worst coach in the world.
Right.
So I get it. I'm glad everybody's pushing me to get out of the way on the train. I get it. It's great to be on the train now. Finish the job. Win Sunday. I don't care about throwing bouquets about in the past. He has to finish the job Sunday, and then get there and win it, right? Yeah. That's what he had. They're actually the favorite now to win the Super Bowl.
I agree. They have. I've said
to win the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody thinks they have the best roster in the league.
But I guess the point I'm making is people didn't think that prior to the year.
But now you have proof. You have evidence. Everybody's smart at the beginning of the year when we're all making predictions. You said they would win. Did you say they wouldn't make the playoffs?
No. I had them losing the conference championship game, but I had them winning 10 games. That's where I was at.
So you did though. They're only good enough to win 10, but somehow they'll be in the NFC championship game.
But what I'm saying is, like, going into the year, very few people, I should say, thought that they would be this good. The defense would be this good.
I had them at 12-5.
Okay. But did you think their defense would be number one?
I did not.
So
I thought the offense would be.
Yeah, and the offense ran for 2,000 yards. They've had a good offense.
Yes.
They've had a very good offense.
So they haven't exceeded expectations. Saquon has.
Well, they won 14 games.
I'm just saying the unit, and you know this as a unit, what we thought this unit was going to be coming into the season.
Right, but even with what we thought the unit could be, they have been better than they were supposed to, and I think that's because of coaching. Vic has done an awesome job. Nick has done an awesome job.
Sure.
So in 2022, while you're right, they had an awesome team, they still got great coaching. So I think what
You didn't say they haven't gotten great coaching. You guys are making the argument that it's the greatest coaching job in the history of the city in a single year. That's what we're talking about, right?
Well, if you look strictly Eagles, it probably is. And then if you go to outside, I mean, we talked about the 0-1 Sixers. Baseball managers don't do much, so, like, who really cares about
that? Well, hold on. Well, that's what Nick is, a manager.
Yeah, but Nick's a head coach, too.
By title, he's still the CEO manager. Right? Now we're gonna do this. He doesn't manage the personalities?
No, of course. That's one of his main
jobs. That's what the baseball coach does.
What does more? Who do you think does more, a baseball manager or a head coach?
A head coach.
Okay,
but he's still
so
a manager is what he is.
But he's also very involved in the offense. He is. He does call some plays on Sunday. Like, he sets the schedule.
Which plays is he calling?
Well, he doesn't.
Who called the rollout to the left when the quarterback has got a gimpy knee? Who called that
one? That one was on Kellen.
Oh, okay.
That was a Kellen.
Okay. What about the one he took the sack in the end zone?
That one was a Kellen.
Okay. Which ones did Nick call? The ones Saquon scored on?
Jalen run. Those are the ones he called, But I just think, regardless if you want to dive into specifics, like, Nick has overachieved in 4 years. I don't think there's any question about that.
Without question.
Right. So if you want to look at great coaching jobs in the city, Look, all time, I appreciate Spike's going there, but he's obviously done an outstanding job this year.
Yeah, you had him better than Andy. You got him better than Doug. I did. Relax over there.
Last time we were at the Super Bowl, I argued everyone on Radio Row for a week Hurts was better than Mahomes.
Poor Elliott's getting killed for my take. God bless you, man. You're like my security guard. You're like my bodyguard.
Oh, I do. People do say I look like Big Dom, so.
Yeah.
And who says that?
Daryl Morey or Big Dom. It's one of the two. Yeah.
Win Sunday.
Yes, win Sunday. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's a major disappointment.
Thank you.
There's no emotional victories this
Thank
year.
You.
Yeah.
A lot of bouquet handing out here. We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, Nick got a bouquet thrown at him a few years ago, so I guess it's a little better than that.
Ike, I wish you actually believed in Nick like us.
Yeah. Well, no, see, you guys are doing the classic thing of not being there. Now you're going over the top with believing in it.
I keep
perspective when it comes to coaching.
As much as I love arguing with Ike, me and Ike were two of the only defenders of Nick last year.
Yes, Spike. I know what it's like when it's in that fire.
We've been defending Nick. You're coming in now, and it's easy.
Well, I did come in. I would say I came in after you. I do feel like I came in earlier than most.
You did. I would agree with that.
That's all.
And
that,
Jack's always been
in
that guy.
Yeah, obviously. Jack's faking it. Yeah. Jack's faking his Nick guy stuff.
Not faking it.
Yeah.
Not
he said
faking.
He won him over.
Yeah. Not really. Jalen, there's no faking.
Right.
Pure honesty.
Yeah.
Right.
Nick, mostly in on.
So speaking of Jalen, Elliott, the knee injury, whatever it is. So have you heard anything? I haven't seen any leaks from anyone saying this is what the injury is. He was sort of, cagey about it after the game. So based on what you've heard, what you saw, what do you think is going on there?
So to be honest, they're definitely being tight-lipped about it. I have any inside info here. You can remember that in the next Insider ranking.
Yeah, we'll remember. It's tomorrow. 4:30.
I mean, he's clearly hurt. Like, that's the main takeaway. He's obviously hurt. You saw the way his knee got bent, how he played afterwards. So I think with that type of injury too, like, we'll see what the swelling was like yesterday. I'm sure they did tests on it, practices tomorrow. So I think he will play on Sunday, but I don't think he'll be 100% Jalen.
So they haven't said exactly what it is. Like I said, I've seen some Twitter doctors
MCL
out there.
MCL sprain. Yeah.
I don't even think during the game they never said exactly what it was. They just said
he was in the blue tent and then put a brace on. And then as soon as Kenny Pickett started warming up, he came out of the blue tent.
Yeah. Yep. It really looked like Kenny was going to go in. So.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
So I had a grade 2 MCL.
Okay. Sprain.
Right. Grade 2 MCL sprain before. It's like a 4-week injury. Didn't stop me from playing, but I definitely had to have a brace on.
You're also built different.
While I was playing. No, but it bothered me is the point that I'm making, is that it bothered me to wear it and to run and to change direction with it. I don't know if he would have as much of a problem being back there as drop back throwing the ball, but if he has to run and try to make someone miss, that's where he could sort of feel the pain at.
So my question to you is it a pain thing, or does it not feel stable?
It doesn't feel stable.
Okay.
And that's why the brace is there.
Got it.
So the MCL, and I'm showing these guys, is this inside, right?
So on the inside of the knee.
That's the MCL. Right. So when it gets bent the way that it did, those ligaments will get stretched there.
Got it.
And depending on how much isn't there, that's the grade 1, grade 2, or what have you. And so, you know, no tear, no structural damage, but just getting a sprain could either be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or a 6-week type of pain tolerance.
And a sprain is essentially just a light tear, right?
Yes. Every sprain is the fibers of whatever it is.
Well,
is stretched and torn.
Basically a knee doctor.
At this point, I am. Unfortunately.
With Joel,
yeah.
No, but I think it definitely bothered him. But I will say, rewatching the game, I don't think that, like, the snow played a factor, the knee played a factor. I didn't watch that game and feel he played poorly because of those two factors. I thought there were throws to be made there he missed. I thought there were decisions to be made that he didn't make. He put the ball on the ground once. And if you look at some of the sacks he took, maybe he gets out of them if he's 100% healthy, but I'm not even 100% sure about that. Like, that rollout play, that defender's right in his face. Now, maybe he doesn't roll out as well because of the knee. The safety, the guy was right in his face, so the snow in the knee, we can use it a little bit as a crutch for why he didn't play well, but I just don't think he played well on Sunday. I don't think it had to do a ton with the factors.
Yeah, I'm just looking at him being able to escape and get out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's part of his game is sort of escaping and getting out of trouble. So I just wonder, that thing, he played on adrenaline the rest of the game.
Yep.
That thing was sore Monday.
That's what I'm saying, the swelling the next day, how it feels.
Yeah, all that stuff is where he's at now. So it's probably going to come down to how much pain can he tolerate doing what he's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, Phillip Rivers played on a torn ACL.
Right.
In the AFC Championship.
If he has to go out of the game on Sunday, are you going to Kenny or are we going to Tanner?
You're going to Kenny. Yeah.
I just want to make sure. So yeah. See where we're all at.
Well, if you go to Tanner, you can never bring in Kenny.
And well, unless Tanner is knocked out the game.
Oh, really?
No.
I think Kenny has to be hurt, Tanner has to be hurt, and then maybe if Tanner get hurt, then Kenny
can get hurt. Yeah, that's what I said. Did I say that?
Hold up. So if Tanner, this is the way I understand it.
I'll look it up.
The way I understand it is if Tanner is the
emergency quarterback,
he can only go in if the other two quarterbacks have to be ruled out. So if he goes in, I don't think Kenny Pickett can come in.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
A third quarterback can only go in if the... Here, it's right here. The emergency third quarterback is permitted to enter a game only if the club's two active quarterbacks are unable to play either by disqualification or injury.
So if they put McKee in, if he starts as the backup, then fine. But if he is the emergency quarterback, then Pickett can't come in the rest of the game.
All right.
Whether he's hurt or not.
Yeah. What that rule means, too, is they would have to go to Kenny first. Like if,
yes.
So it would have to be Jalen, then Kenny.
Yeah, well, you would go to Kenny first.
And I don't even think you can't pull Kenny because of play. He'd have to be
Well,
hurt.
You could lie.
No, obviously you could lie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it just means you can't put him back in afterwards.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
That's what we just lied.
So, I guess everyone keeps saying that their confidence is going to play. Jalen Hurts is going to play. Like, I have zero doubt that Jalen Hurts is going to play.
The line has gone up, not down.
Well, that's the best indication, too.
I guess what is – so if he's limited as far as a running perspective, what is your confidence in him as a quarterback if he is limited from a running perspective?
Based off last week, I am worried about this upcoming Sunday. Like, for him, for the game, I don't feel confident about this game on Sunday. And a large part of the reason is – how Jalen played on Sunday versus how Jaden Daniels has been playing. When Jalen didn't turn the ball over against Green Bay, didn't like he just managed the game, I was okay with that. So I'm not Mr. needs to throw for 350, needs four touchdowns. But what he did on Sunday that was concerning to me was when he couldn't move, like if you want to say later in the game he couldn't move, there were throws to be made. I think he should have had three passing touchdowns and he missed all of them. So there were plays to be made there that he didn't make. He also had some throws that were inaccurate. There was that throw to AJ where it's 5 yards out of bounds. There's another one later in the game where it's 3 yards behind AJ. And he put the ball on the ground. So he had missed opportunities, he missed throws, and he had the turnover-worthy play. So, yeah, I'm very worried about Sunday and Jalen.
He plays Sunday like he always plays.
I disagree. I think he was worse on Sunday.
I mean, from a passing standpoint.
You know,
what did he do differently?
Well, he took a bunch of sacks, which is not all on him, but he was sacked way more than he normally
was. Yeah, I would say like half of them were on him. It's specifically on him. But my worry about Sunday, specifically with him, was the same thing that happened to Darnold, and that Darnold holds the ball too long. And that Rams defensive line just gets there
now,
in a
the
hurry.
Yeah. Washington has nowhere near, in my opinion, as good of a defensive line. Like the Rams.
Oh, yeah, we saw that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the Rams have an awesome defensive line,
I should say.
So there is where I think this Eagles offensive line can protect Jalen. But do any of us really have confidence that if Jalen has to sit back there and he can't move, that he's going to throw for like 400 yards? I'd be...
Don't be ridiculous. He doesn't need to throw for 400 yards.
I mean throw.
Yes, he's going to throw effectively and efficiently.
Right.
That's what he's going to do.
I'm worried about it.
Right. I didn't see anything different Sunday until he couldn't move. He couldn't move, he took sacks. Get a guy break. You're not going to have snow Sunday. It's going to be 45 degrees, 40 degrees.
It was only snowing for like the middle of the third.
The receivers are out there running sloppy routes. Nobody's getting open.
Right, the coaching.
And Kellen Moore.
What offensive game plan
are we running around here?
Been saying it for weeks.
Just saying.
215-592-9494. Elliot with us until 3.
Out.
By the way, end of the month. Elliot, if you'd like to join me doing the polar plunge for the Special Olympics at Citizens Bank Park.
So I've done a cold plunge at the gym. It's pretty cold.
Yeah, it's outside.
A lot of stuff at the gym.
To benefit.
It's the best shape of my life.
It benefits the Special Olympics, which are an amazing cause for the athletes, for the families involved. It's actually at Citizens Bank Park. You jump in the pool in the middle of Citizens Bank Park. So I have a team. Elliot, you're welcome on the team.
So
I know I can kind of do it. Jack?
Like, am I more of a baseball guy since it's at Citizens Bank Park?
Your brother's going to do polar plunges.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
I think Jack should do it. It's at Citizens Bank.
I think Jack should do it too.
I'll bring Stubbs with me.
There you go. Get Stubby in there and his overalls.
Right? Jump in there.
Yeah, because he screwed us in 23.
Well, if you want to join the team, just head to my Twitter page. I'll post it now. You can join our team fundraise, or you can just donate. We're like eighth in fundraising. Our team.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll donate. I'll donate your fantasy football.
You don't have to do that. All right. More with Elliot next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Tuesday. It's 3 o'clock. What a treat for everyone. Tuesdays with Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for a full hour. Elliot of the Go Birds podcast, which is coming out twice a day right now. Go Birds Daily in the morning, and then you and James later on in the morning. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Elliot, how we doing?
How's it going?
Good. Now, before we get started on the Eagles stuff, I was looking at pictures. It looks like you bailed on the idea of your ankle-length lady coat for Sunday's game. What was behind that
decision? First of all, it's not a lady coat.
Wow.
Fresh, made in Italy. It's a nice coat.
Well, they make lady coats in Italy.
There's not only guys in Italy.
Elliot Colangelo over here.
Get a new coat. Yeah. Well, it's just not a warm coat is where I messed up.
It's a pea coat. Pea coats are the warmest
but it's
coats
thin.
You can have.
You don't know about pea coats.
I have a pea coat.
So it's
a one owner.
It's a thin coat, but here's the good news. You look at the weather for Sunday, it's going to be in the 40s. I'm wearing the coat. It's a championship coat, too.
Is it a championship
coat? It's not a divisional round coat.
But it...
Wait till you see it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I'll never forget it.
I will say I had a few people come up to me, like non-media people, or like, where's the coat?
Yeah, people are looking for it, man. Yes.
So I will wear it on Sunday.
Well, I saw Howie jumping up and down on the sidelines, and he was wearing like sort of a calf-length coat, and it looked like he was restricting him given his jumps
it
up and down.
It definitely restricts how you walk a little, I will say, but, fashion over function.
Yeah, especially for a successful lady like you.
It's exactly right. For a businesswoman like me on Sunday, I need my best.
I don't know why I think it's so funny.
Well, I'm excited to wear it. You won't even see it. That's a sad thing.
On Sunday? Yeah. Or no, at the Super
There'll
Bowl?
Be photos of it.
Or this Sunday? You're wearing it this Sunday?
I'm going to wear it this Sunday. Okay, yeah,
there'll be pictures.
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure the comments will be kind on that one.
Yeah. So, Elliot, we open up the show today. I sort of outlined why I think this is the best coaching performance overall in Philly sports history. Not just Nick, but Vic as well, given the context of everything. And Vic, too, it might be looking historically one of the best performances of Vic Fangio's career. I know we only have 1 year of Vic, but you don't go through Vic Fangio's defenses and it's like every year it's like number one, number two.
Especially recently.
Yeah. So what do you think of that overall and the performance of them given, comparisons to other great coaching performances?
I mean, first, wow, how things have changed over the past 2 months.
Yeah,
right?
They sure have.
You make the NFC Championship game and things are different.
Well, but I do think I think the NFC Championship game is a good time to talk about it, but I think this has been building.
I agree. So it's a great question. I mean, if you want to talk like overall in the city, the first one that comes to mind for me is Larry Brown in 01, just because that team didn't have a ton of talent. They went all the way to the NBA Finals. But
I want to just for a second.
You want to talk Sixers?
No. That team had two Hall of Famers starting on it. In Dikembe Mutombo and Allen Iverson.
Was a great
had a six man of the year in Aaron McKee. Like it, and the team was built the way it had to be built because of Iverson. So I wouldn't say that team was untalented.
Yeah, I think two Hall of Famers is a bit of a stretch, but we don't need to get into the semantics.
Sure,
he was towards the end of his career. But regardless, I think if you look at like for the Eagles, the best coaching jobs, right? Individual seasons, I mean 2017 Doug, Jim Schwartz, Frank Reich. I think an interesting way to look at this for me is kind of what the expectations are versus what they did, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the over-unders going into each of these seasons. So 2017, they were supposed to win 8.5 games. They won 13. They were plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl, which is even longer than I remember. So obviously they win 4.5 more games. They win the Super Bowl. Great job. 2022, when they went, obviously, 9.5 was the over-under. They won 14. But the Super Bowl odds were only plus 2,400 that year. So like I think going into it, the Eagles in 2022 had slightly higher expectations. So I think 2017 was a better coaching job from the head coaches. But when you take into account all of it, I think, Nick is a better head coach than Doug was. And I think these coordinators are doing a better job than the coordinators did in 2017. So overall, I would agree with you.
Wow. That's a good way to look at it.
Here's another, while we're at it.
Well, and I think also the context of the defense being the Fangio's job is the job that Fangio is doing is a big part of this. It's not only, but going from the next to last ranked defense to the number one ranked defense. Mm-hmm. And it's not like their big free agent acquisition on defense failed. He's even played
one snap in two games.
Right. This is not with them. And then Brandon Graham was their, I would say, debatably their best edge this year
even when he got hurt
at that point. True. But then we have Jalix Hunt playing 18 snaps, mm-hmm. and Nolan Smith is now a game wrecker.
Yeah.
And that all happened under Vic.
So one thing I found interesting when I was looking up like the over unders is Doug for his time here. If you want to look at what he was supposed to win versus what he did win. He won one less game than the over-under total was for 5 years. If you look at Nick, he's won 10 more games than he was supposed to. So we can talk about all the talent on the roster.
Nick's rosters are better.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying what was expected of Doug's rosters,
mm-hmm.
he underachieved. Obviously, he did not because he won the Super Bowl.
But yeah, in terms of
total wins, he won fewer games than he was supposed to based off the over-unders.
Yeah, but that's over-unders are just betting numbers.
No, I know, but it's what we expect of the team going into the season.
Yeah, and we can't go back and lump everybody into the same group of expectations when people felt differently about those teams. But if you look at those rosters, that Super Bowl was a lightning in the bottle roster. No one on that roster other than the core four lasted and ever played any better than that year.
Yeah.
Than that year. Like, they never reached that level of play, any of those players individually. Alshon, the running backs were gone
the next year.
None of those guys.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Nick has coached way more talent than Doug.
Yes.
Like, without question. But when I think with Nick, one thing you'll hear, I don't know if you guys have heard it today, but I'm sure you've heard it over the months, is, he's got so much talent, he's supposed to win. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making is, if you look at 2021 to now, he's won 10 more games than he was supposed to based off the over-under. So he has taken a talented roster and won more than he was supposed to. So yes, he has talent, but he also, if we want to stick with the over-under thing, faces high over-unders, right? Like, he normally is supposed to win 10 games, 10
and
a half.
He should. With
and
this
he,
roster.
He does. That's what, yeah, that's
and
what
he
I'm
should
saying.
With this roster. He's not overachieving. One could say they have not reached the full potential of winning a championship. And that's why, as much as I like Nick, and I'm a Nick guy, you lose Sunday and you guys aren't saying any of this.
Or
you might be saying it because you're a lunatic.
Right.
Yeah, so you probably would still say it. But I know Spike's not going to say it.
Well,
and you certainly wouldn't be able to convince anybody that this is a great coaching job if they lose to Washington Sunday at home.
So I think Nick has definitely overachieved in 4 years. Now, you're right. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, you can definitely look and go, should they have got a Super Bowl during this four-year run? And the answer is probably yes. So if he doesn't win it this year.
You think this team has overachieved?
Yes. In 2021, they definitely overachieved.
Forget about 2021. They won 9-8. That's nothing. They got smacked the first real.
Hold on.
Because I was here for context, so I know exactly.
Right.
They didn't beat anybody in 2021. They ran the ball more than anybody, and when they played a legitimate team, they weren't even close to winning a game against Tampa in the playoffs.
I agree.
Wasn't even close. So that 9-8 record, even though it's 9-8, it was nothing special. There's nothing special about that season.
I agree it wasn't special.
Nothing.
But I agree, but he still won way more than they were supposed to. I agree with you. Like, their
way
roster
more, they won 9 games. How many games were they supposed to win?
I think their over-under was like, I have it here. I think it was 7 or 6.5 or something
like
that.
Okay, they won 9.
But they had won 4 games the year before.
Right.
So going into that year, I don't think many of us projected they would make the playoffs. That's the point I'm making. You can say he didn't overachieve in some grand.
They were fortunate to make the playoffs because of a down year in the conference. And that's fine. But I'm just saying, I look at this roster and I look at this talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't win Sunday. This is a team, because even though the season ended the way it did last year, that wasn't the expectation coming in, right? 2023, that was a disaster at the end.
Yes,
so don't tell me how great of a job of coaching it was, right? Don't give me win totals at the beginning of the year. Give me the actual context of going through the season and watching the team. You didn't look at that team and feel like that was a great coaching job in 2023.
Last year? I agree with you 100%.
2023,
I agree with you 100%. But he's been here in 2021, 22, and this year.
Yes.
And he's overachieved
and he
three
has
out
to
of four
finish
years.
This year.
I agree. He has to win this year. But also, one, in 2022, they definitely overachieved. Or I should say exceeded expectations. They had a talented roster, but
yeah, that is
expectations.
Certainly fair.
Right? This year, I think they've exceeded expectations as well.
Well, hold on.
We had a ton of questions about this.
In 2022, context again, they played the last place schedule and they played a bunch of bum quarterbacks. They were the best team on the field every time they stepped out there until they played Kansas City.
Right.
We even talk about the playoff run they went through and the teams they beat. So, yes, on the surface, the numbers say that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm looking at the level of competition you're playing and whether or not you're beating teams that you shouldn't beat or doing things you shouldn't do. When I look at the 2022 season and go through that schedule, they should have mollywopped every team they played that year.
In 2022?
Yes.
And they did.
Right. So right. I'm saying they did what they were expected to do. They were playing a last place schedule with a bunch of mediocre at best quarterbacks.
So – I do get your point about the schedule, but it's one thing to say you're supposed to, like, you know, smack a team around every week. It's another team to do it. It's harder to actually go out and do it. But they definitely overachieved.
They had a stack roster.
They almost won the Super Bowl. They were not supposed to, though. Like, they weren't supposed to be in the Super Bowl
at the beginning of the season. But once you watch the season play out.
Yeah, but we're talking about coaching jobs. So when you go into the year, he was not supposed to go to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and he did. So to me, that is a great coaching job and an overachievement, right? 2021, they're not supposed to make the playoffs. They do make the playoffs. That's a great coaching job and an overachievement.
But it's not all him.
No, I agree. It's the staff. It's the roster.
It's not all him. So let's not get into the nuts and bolts of the role you play and everything else. And then when you don't have that talent around you, right? Like I understand what he's great at doing. Mm-hmm. I understand it. Listen. I love everybody on the Knick train with me. I didn't have anybody there with me a year ago. I didn't have anybody with me on the train a year ago. Everybody wanted him fired, and he's the worst coach in the world.
Right.
So I get it. I'm glad everybody's pushing me to get out of the way on the train. I get it. It's great to be on the train now. Finish the job. Win Sunday. I don't care about throwing bouquets about in the past. He has to finish the job Sunday, and then get there and win it, right? Yeah. That's what he had. They're actually the favorite now to win the Super Bowl.
I agree. They have. I've said
to win the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody thinks they have the best roster in the league.
But I guess the point I'm making is people didn't think that prior to the year.
I did, but now you have proof. You have evidence. Everybody's smart at the beginning of the year. We're all making predictions. You said they would win. Did you say they wouldn't make the playoffs?
No. I had them losing the conference championship game, but I had them winning 10 games. That's where I was at.
So you did though. They're only good enough to win 10, but somehow they'll be in the NFC championship game.
But what I'm saying is, like, going into the year, very few people, at least I should say, mm-hmm. thought that they would be this good. The defense would be this good.
I had them at 12-5.
Okay. But did you think their defense would be number one?
I did not.
So
I thought the offense would be.
Yeah, and the offense ran for 2,000 yards. They've had a good offense.
Yes.
They've had a very good offense.
So they haven't exceeded expectations. Saquon has.
Well, they won 14 games.
I'm just saying the unit, and you know this as a unit, what we thought this unit was going to be coming into the season.
Right, but even with what we thought the unit could be, mm-hmm. they have been better than they were supposed to, and I think that's because of coaching. Vic has done an awesome job. Nick has done an awesome job.
Sure.
So in 2022, while you're right, they had an awesome team, they still got great coaching. So I think what
You didn't say they haven't gotten great coaching. You guys are making the argument that it's the greatest coaching job in the history of the city in a single year. That's what we're talking about, right?
Well, if you look strictly Eagles, it probably is. And then if you go to outside, I mean, we talked about the 0-1 Sixers. Baseball managers don't do much, so, like, who really cares about
that? Well, hold on. That's what Nick is, a manager.
Yeah, but Nick's a head coach, too.
By title, he's still the CEO manager. Right? Now we're going to do this. He doesn't manage the personalities?
No, of course. That's one of his main
jobs. That's what the baseball coach does.
What does more? Who do you think does more, a baseball manager or a head coach?
A head coach.
Okay,
but he's still
a
manager is what he is.
But he's also very involved in the offense. He is. He does call some plays on Sunday. Like, he sets the schedule.
Which plays is he calling?
Well, he doesn't tell us anymore.
Who called the rollout to the left when the quarterback has got a gimpy knee? Who called that
one? That one was on Kellen.
Oh, okay.
That was a Kellen play.
What about when he took the sack in the end zone?
That one was a Kellen play.
Okay. Which ones did Nick call? The ones Saquon scored
runs,
on?
Jalen run. Those were the ones he called, yeah. But I just think, regardless if you want to dive into specifics, like, Nick has overachieved in 4 years. I don't think there's any question about that.
Without question.
Right. So if you want to look at great coaching jobs in the city, look, all time, I appreciate Spike's going there, but he's obviously done an outstanding job this year.
Yeah, you had him better than Andy. You got him better than Doug. I did. Relax over there.
Last time we were at the Super Bowl, I argued everyone on Radio Row for a week Hurts was better than Mahomes. So
poor Elliott's getting killed for my take. God bless you, man. You're like my security guard. You're like my bodyguard.
Well, I do. People do say I look like Big Dom, so.
Yeah.
And who says that?
Daryl Morey or Big Dom. It's one of the two.
Yeah. Win Sunday.
If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's a major disappointment.
Thank you.
There's no emotional victories.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bouquet handing out here. We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, Nick got a bouquet thrown at him a few years ago, so I guess it's a little better than that.
Ike, I wish you actually believed in Nick like us.
Yeah. Well, no, see, you guys are doing the classic thing of not being there. Now you're going the top with believing
in it. I keep
perspective when it comes to
coaching.
As
much as I love arguing with Ike, me and Ike were two of the only defenders of Nick last year.
I know what it's like when it's in that fire.
We've been defending it. You're coming in now and it's easy.
Well, I did come in, I would say, I came in after you. I do feel like I came in earlier than most.
You did. I would agree with that.
That's all.
And
that's,
Jack's always been a
Nick
guy.
Yeah, yeah. Jack's faking it. Yeah. Jack's faking his Nick guy stuff.
Not faking it.
Yeah.
Not
he said
faking.
He won him over.
Yeah. Not really. Jalen, there's no faking.
Right.
Pure honesty.
Yeah.
Right.
Nick, so, mostly in on.
So speaking of Jalen Elliott, the knee injury, whatever it is. So have you heard anything? I haven't seen any leaks from anyone saying this is what the injury is. He was sort of, cagey about it after the game. So based on what you've heard, what you saw, what do you think is going on there?
So to be honest, they're definitely being tight-lipped about it. I have any inside info here. You can remember that in the next insider ranking.
Yeah, we'll remember. It's tomorrow. 4:30.
I mean, he's clearly hurt. Like, that's the main takeaway. He's obviously hurt. You saw the way his knee got bent, how he played afterwards. So I think with that type of injury too, like, we'll see what the swelling was like yesterday. I'm sure they did tests on it, practices tomorrow. So I think he will play on Sunday, but I don't think he'll be 100% Jalen.
So they haven't said exactly what it is. Like I said, we had some, I've seen some Twitter doctors
MCL
out there.
MCL sprain. Yeah.
Think during the game they never said exactly what it was.
Said he was in the blue tent
and then put a brace on.
And then as soon as Kenny Pickett started warming up, he came out of the blue tent.
Yeah. Yep. It really looked like Kenny was going to go in. So.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
So I had a grade 2 MCL.
Okay. Sprain.
Right. Grade 2 MCL sprain before. It's like a 4-week injury. Didn't stop me from playing, but I definitely had to have a brace on.
You're also built different.
While I was playing. No, but it bothered me is the point that I'm making is that it bothered me to wear it and to run and to change direction with it. I don't know if he will have as much of a problem being back there as drop back throwing the ball, but if he has to run and try to make someone miss, that's where he could sort of feel the pain at.
So my question to you is it a pain thing or does it not feel stable?
It doesn't feel stable.
Okay.
And that's why the brace is there.
Got it.
So the MCL, and I'm showing these guys, is this inside, right?
So on the inside of the knee.
That's the MCL. Right. So when it gets bent the way that it did, those ligaments will get stretched there.
Got it.
And depending on how much is in there, that's the grade 1, grade 2, or what have you. And so, you know, no tear, no structural damage, but just getting a sprain could either be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, or a 6-week type of pain tolerance.
And a sprain is essentially just a light tear, right?
Yes. Every sprain is the fibers of whatever it is is stretched and torn.
Spike is basically a knee doctor.
At this point, unfortunately.
With Joel, but I think it definitely bothered him. But I will say, rewatching the game, I don't think that, like, the snow played a factor, the knee played a factor. I didn't watch that game and feel he played poorly because of those two factors. I thought there were throws to be made there he missed. I thought there were decisions to be made that he didn't make. He put the ball on the ground once. And if you look at some of the sacks he took, maybe he gets out of them if he's 100% healthy, but I'm not even 100% sure about that. Like, that rollout play, that defender's right in his face. Now, maybe he doesn't roll out as well because of the knee. The safety, the guy was right in his face, so the snow in the knee, we can use it a little bit as a crutch for why he didn't play well, but I just don't think he played well on Sunday. I don't think it had to do a ton with the factors.
Yeah, I'm just looking at him being able to escape and get out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's part of his game is sort of escaping and getting out of trouble. So I just wonder, that thing, he played on adrenaline the rest of the game.
Yep.
That thing was sore Monday.
That's what I'm saying, the swelling the next day, how it feels.
Yeah, all that stuff is where he's at now. So it's probably going to come down to how much pain can he tolerate doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Phillip Rivers played on a torn ACL.
Right,
in the AFC Championship game.
If he has to go out of the game on Sunday, Are you going to Kenny or are we going to Tanner?
You're going to Kenny. Yeah.
I just want to make sure. So see where we're all at.
Well, if you go to Tanner, you can never bring in Kenny.
Unless Tanner is knocked out the game.
Oh, really?
No.
I think Kenny has to be hurt, Tanner has to be hurt, and then maybe if Tanner get hurt, then Kenny
can go. What I said. Did I say that?
Hold up. So if Tanner, this is the way I understand it.
I'll look it up.
The way I understand it is if Tanner is the
emergency quarterback,
he can only go in if the other two quarterbacks have to be ruled out. So if he goes in, I don't think Kenny Pickett can come in.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
A third quarterback can only go in if the it's right here. The emergency third quarterback is permitted to enter a game only if the club's two active quarterbacks are unable to play either by disqualification or injury.
So if they put McKee in, if he starts as the backup, then fine. But if he is the emergency quarterback, then Pickett can't come in the rest of the game.
All right.
Whether he's hurt or not.
Yeah. What that rule means too is they would have to go to Kenny first. Like if so it would have to be Jalen, then Kenny.
Yeah, well, you would go to Kenny first.
And I even think you can't pull Kenny because of play. He'd have to be
Well,
hurt.
You could lie.
No, obviously you could lie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it just means you can't put him back in afterwards.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
That's what we just
learned. So I guess everyone keeps saying that they're confident he's going to play. Jalen Hurts is going to play. Like, I have zero doubt that Jalen Hurts is going to play.
The line has gone up. Yes. Not down.
Well, that's the best indication, too.
I guess what is so if he's limited as far as a running perspective, what is your confidence in him as a quarterback if he is limited from a running perspective?
Based off last week, I am worried about this upcoming Sunday. Like for him, for the game, I don't feel confident about this game on Sunday. And a large part of the reason is how Jalen played on Sunday versus how Jaden Daniels has been playing. When Jalen didn't turn the ball over against Green Bay, he just managed the game, I was okay with that. So I'm not Mr. needs to throw for 350, needs four touchdowns. But what he did on Sunday that was concerning to me was when he couldn't move, like if you want to say later in the game he couldn't move, there were throws to be made. I think he should have had three passing touchdowns and he missed all of them. So there were plays to be made there that he didn't make. He also had some throws that were inaccurate. There was that throw to AJ where it's 5 yards out of bounds. There's another one later in the game where it's 3 yards behind AJ. And he put the ball on the ground. So he had missed opportunities. He missed throws. And he had the turnover-worthy play. So, yeah, I'm very worried about Sunday and Jalen.
He plays Sunday like he always plays.
I disagree. I think he was worse on Sunday.
I mean, from a passing standpoint. What did he do differently?
Well, he took a bunch of sacks. Not all on him, but he was sacked way more than he normally.
Yeah, I would say half of them were on him. It's specifically on him. But my worry about Sunday, specifically with him, was the same thing that happened to Darnold, and that Darnold holds the ball too long, and that Rams defensive line just gets there in a hurry.
Now, here's the good news. Yeah. Washington has nowhere near, in my opinion, as good of a defensive line. Like the Rams.
Oh, yeah, we saw that last week.
So the Rams have an awesome defensive line,
I should say.
So there is where I think this Eagles offensive line can protect Jalen. But do any of us really have confidence that if Jalen has to sit back there and he can't move, that he's going to throw for like 400 yards?
Don't be ridiculous. He doesn't need to throw for 400 yards.
I mean, he's going to throw effectively and efficiently.
Right. That's what he's going to do.
I'm worried about it.
Right. And I didn't see anything different Sunday until he couldn't move. He couldn't move. He took sacks. Nah. Get a guy a break. You're not going to have snow Sunday. It's going to be 45 degrees, wait. 40 degrees.
It was only snowing for like the middle of the third.
The receivers are out there running sloppy routes. Nobody's getting open.
Right. The coaching.
And Kellen Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
What offensive game plan are we running around here?
Been saying it for weeks.
Just saying. 215-592-9494. Elliot with us until 3. Out. By the way, end of the month. Elliot, if you'd like to join me doing the polar plunge for the Special Olympics at Citizens Bank Park.
So I've done a cold plunge at the gym. It's pretty cold.
Yeah, it's outside.
A lot of stuff at the gym.
To benefit.
Best shape of my life.
It benefits the Special Olympics, which are an amazing cause for the athletes, for the families involved. It's actually at Citizens Bank Park. You jump in the pool in the middle of Citizens Bank Park. So I have a team. Elliot, you're welcome on the team.
So
I know I can kind of do it, Jack.
Like, am I more of a baseball guy since it's at Citizens Bank Park?
Your brothers don't do polar plunges.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
I think Jack should do it. It's at Citizens Bank.
I think Jack should do it too.
I'll bring Stubbs with me.
There you go. Get Stubby in there and his overalls.
Right? Jump in there.
Yeah, because he screwed us in 23.
Well, if you want to join the team, just head to my Twitter page. I'll post it now. You can join our team fundraise, or you can just donate. We're like eighth in fundraising. Our team.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll donate. I'll donate your fantasy football.
You don't have to do that. All right. More with Elliot next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.